Hello, hey Boomer listeners. I hope you are all snuggled in. I know up the East Coast, we have been having some serious weather. And even here in South Carolina, we were snowed in and basically many of us still are. Anyway, welcome to the show. My name is Wendy Green and I am the host of Hey Boomer. And today we are going to be talking about ageism. Ageism is probably the only ism that is not included or rarely included in the discussion about diversity, equity, and inclusion that is part of the corporate dialogue these days. Ageism is also insidious in that many of us have become culturalized, you know, by society, by the way we grew up, into believing some of the myths around ageism. So think about it. Like, you can't remember a word, or I can't find my glasses, but they're on my head. And so we say, oh, I'm having a senior moment. Well, I mean, that's really an ageist comment. I remember when my father, he was at work one day and he just, you know, he had his own businesses. He just realized he had missed a whole year, hardly saw his family, out of touch with all the important events of the day. And he was having what people called then a midlife crisis. And I wonder now, is that really a crisis or is that an awakening? Is that part of aging, or is that an insight into, as we get older, we start to say, you know what, we've had a professional career, so there's now other things that are important to us that we may want to focus more attention on. And then sometimes you hear people say, well, you know, 60 is the new 70. I'm sorry, 60 is the new 40. And I want to say, well, how about 60 being the new 60 or 70 being the new 70? You know, we are redefining what those ages look like, which is a typical baby boomer thing to do, right? We kind of redefined our society in a lot of ways as we were growing up. And now we are becoming the role models for what it means to age. My guest today is Helen Hirsch Spence. And Helen is the CEO and founder of an organization called the Top 60 Over 60. And we're going to talk about ageism and what her enterprise is doing to address it. I want to give you my two never too old stories. The first one is in honor of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., since this is Martin Luther King Jr. Day. And I want to talk about John Lewis. John Lewis was just 21 years old when he became one of the original 13 members of the Freedom Riders. He was one of the youngest speaker, or he was the youngest speaker at the March on Washington in 1963, the march when Dr. King gave his I Have a Dream speech. On December 29th of 2019, John Lewis was diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer. He's quoted as saying, "I have been in some kind of fight for freedom, equality, basic human rights for nearly my entire life. But I have never faced a fight quite like this one." He died on July 17th, 2020, at the age of 80. And he continued to serve in Congress for as long as he possibly could. And right now, there is a bill in the Senate, the John Lewis Freedom to Vote Act, that dearly needs to pass. I would encourage all of you to write to your congresspeople, encourage them to get this bill passed. So that's my John Lewis story. Satchel Paige is my second never too old story. Do many of you remember Satchel Paige? He was a baseball player. He was a 6'3" right-hander who started his career in the Negro League. And at the age of 42, he made his American League debut with the Cleveland Indians. He left the major leagues in 1953, only to return for one game with the Kansas City Athletics at the age of 59. And he pitched three shutout innings. Paige is quoted as saying, "Age is a question of mind over matter. If you don't mind, it don't matter." I just wanted to see how many of you remembered our rule of five. So if you share this show with five people who you know are going to benefit from it, who are going to love it, and they share it with five people, the show starts to have a life of its own and it grows exponentially, and we help and serve more people that way. So please go out and share the show, share this show link, share the podcast. Let's get five more viewers next week than we have this week. Thank you. And with that, I want to bring on Miss Helen Hirsch Spence, who is in Ottawa, Canada, having a very major snowstorm. So Helen, thank you for joining us.
It's a pleasure. I'm inside.
Thank goodness. And hopefully we have no disruption from all of her weather that's happening there.
Don't be surprised, however, if I freeze.
So Helen had a 30-year career in education as a principal, a headmistress, and as president of the Ontario Principals Council. And her work has always involved helping others maximize their potential, a passion that she now brings to her latest endeavor, the Top 60 Over 60. The Top 60 Over 60 is a social enterprise that focuses on reskilling older adults by introducing an entrepreneurial mindset, and it helps organizations transform their multi-generational workforce into intergenerational teams. Top 60 Over 60 was created to celebrate, educate, and amplify the positive impact of older adults by debunking the common myths about aging and being old. In 2018, Helen did a research study in partnership with the Ontario Center of Workforce Innovation and Ryerson University in Toronto, centered on how to successfully engage older adults with an entrepreneurial mindset to offset the negative impacts of self-directed ageism. And the successful outcome resulted in the design and delivery of RESET, Top 60's signature program. Helen is also an active volunteer locally, nationally, and internationally, having served as chair of the Jane Goodall Institute, executive member of the International Women's Forum, and mentor and life coach to youth and new immigrants. And the fact that she is fluent in French, German, and Spanish helps to serve to break down some of those barriers. So, wow, Helen, you've been busy.
Yeah, it's just a lifetime, you know.
So tell me, what makes a school principal or a headmistress start a social enterprise around ageism?
I guess reality, you know, it's not easy to transition from one stage of life to another, as I found out when I tried. So I think that what happens is we lose who we are when we suddenly lose a title. So I'm just saying, not everybody is so involved in their work that their title is insignificant, But the reality is that those of us who have worked hard to become, you know, something that we've aspired to, when we suddenly are out of that role, we're at a loss. And so I thought that was just me originally, because we didn't talk about it that much. And I'm at the closer end to the beginning of the boomer generation, not at the end. So a lot of my friends and whatnot who may have gone through something like that didn't speak about it. It's like so many other things, like mental illness and mental health that we talk about today, much more positively. So I was at a loss at the beginning, but then I realized it was very common. And I started doing some work and research in that area. And I was phenomenally overwhelmed with the possibility of doing something new. And I had encountered a couple of my past students who encouraged me to look into something that was called social entrepreneurship. I mean, social entrepreneurship didn't exist in earlier years when I was looking through, you know, the roster of activities or employment activities. Right. In any case, so I was introduced to it in my 60s. And I thought this was a marvelous idea, because I'd been working with not-for-profits and so on, and I'd been traveling extensively, volunteering in a variety of different countries. So I was I was not idle. I was combining my skills with my my passion for working with others. In any case, I started Top 60 Over 60 when I started seeing and noticing, not just seeing, I'd seen it before, all these competitions for Top 30 Under 30, Top 40 Under 40. I thought, my goodness, we're a whole generation of very capable, healthy, active, older adults, and yet nobody's celebrating what we can accomplish. In fact, we're getting lost in the shuffle. And I thought, it's time to acknowledge what it means to be older and to value it and to take a look at the potential. And I mean, the timing was such that nobody really was paying much attention to age or aging. But mm-hmm. since COVID, age has become a huge issue. And ageism, which you described earlier, is exacerbated by COVID. Because the only thing that people see when it has to do with older people is, you know, residences or senior living arrangements or care homes, in which you've got isolated individuals in wheelchairs or using walkers. You know, it's the vulnerable individual that most people are seeing. And then they make that association. Oh, getting old means going into a care home or becoming isolated, depressed, lonely, and all of the other
people. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So it's gotten that much worse. And it's that much worse even for women. So my initial interest was really to just bring attention to us. And I called it Top 60 Over 60 because I wanted to hold an event or a competition, and got sidelined for a little while. And now I'm moving back to that being one of the things that I hope to accomplish in the next year or two with sponsors.
Awesome. That's exciting. Yeah. How do we apply?
I'll let you know.
But I love that you mentioned it was some of your students that mentioned social enterprise. So because one of your corporate focuses is to work in that intergenerational environment. And I hear a lot of talk about intergenerational work now. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I mean, it was second nature to me. I worked in high schools and then in, you know, junior kindergarten up to grade 13, which is what we had here in Ontario. And I've often stayed in touch with past students. And in fact, I would say that they have had the most, one of the greatest impacts on me based on my experiences as a result of those continued relationships. Let me give you an example. So Laura, who was a high school student of mine in the late 1990s, went off to Nepal. And when she came back, she came to my office. She'd already graduated. And she told me about all the stories. And I said, oh, that sounds so amazing. I'd love to do something like that. She said, you could do it, Mrs. Spence. I said, oh, I don't know. Anyway, sure enough, with her encouragement, with a couple of names, I decided to leave the work that I was doing. And I took some time off, and I went off to Nepal trekking alone.
Alone?
Yeah, alone. I mean, I wasn't alone. I had a Sherpa and a porter, and I met a lot of people, but I was on my own. The point being is that her encouragement and her help was instrumental in making me move outside my comfort zone and have an experience of a lifetime, which, you know, really changed me. And then this another time was when I started Top 60. It was before Top 60. It was one of my students, Somia, her name is, who I'm still very close to. She's about 30 now. She's taught me so much. But she took me to the Center for Social Innovation in Toronto when I was visiting her one time. And it was like, this exists? No idea. And from that point on, again, she guided me. She put me on an advisory that she was involved with, the social impact. And through courses that I then took in social entrepreneurship, I moved forward and I created Top 60 Over 60.
There are so many opportunities out there that we don't know about. And that's one of the reasons that I do this show, because I love to talk to people like you that introduce us to these new ideas. You know, who knew there's this social innovation enterprise? Or we have talked a little bit about social enterprises before. And, you know, how does that differ? I mean, yours is a for-profit. So how does a social enterprise differ than, say, just a regular corporation?
Well, primarily, there's a difference in that it has as its major purpose a social impact. So, and also because, so for example, when I can earn money through corporate work, for instance, what I did before COVID is I held workshops that I didn't charge for older adults. And they were very similar to the workshops perhaps that I offered elsewhere that I was being paid for. But I was trying to offset the costs of doing that for clients that perhaps otherwise wouldn't have been exposed. And because I'm focusing on an older population, we tended to get older individuals out, but we also had lots of younger ones too. And that was just fine because I'm all about, as I say, you know, the making connections between generations. I think that's probably the best way to counter ageism moving forward. But I wanted to also mention that I always had staff too, and my staff were of all ages, you know. So, you know, I ended up with friendships and relationships with people, you know, between the ages of 20 and 75 throughout my career. And it was so enriching. I never thought about it until afterwards when I started realizing we live in such an age siloed world in the latter 20th century and in the beginning of the 21st century. And it's counterproductive because the reality is we're living longer. Our society all over the world is aging dramatically. In 20 years, there'll be triple the amount of 85-year-olds among us as there are now. I mean, so and people are going to just add generation to generation. So if we don't start addressing some of the issues that are keeping us apart now, that are mostly just you know, that polarity that we see in absolutely everything, which could be, you know, politics, could be anti-vaxxers, vaxxers, you know, okay, boomer and multi, you know, and millennials, they have more in common than they have as differences. So, you know, try to focus on those kinds of components as opposed to differences.
Yeah. There is a lot that of isolation. I was listening to a podcast this morning that was talking about that very thing and about the longevity. Kids born today are expected to live into their hundreds.
That's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the workforce will change. The availability of money will change. I mean, all of that's going to change. But if you want to expand your horizons, like I guess I want to go back to internal ageism, you know, like.
Oh, yeah, sure. That would be. That is probably one. There are two things that I think are the biggest issues. One is the fact that my generation, I was born in 1949, we don't even recognize the ageism that we have internalized. So the research shows that from the age of 4 on, we already have these ageist beliefs, which is very young. But I mean, it's not unlike, you know, racism or anything else. So it applies to age as well. And we don't have that many role models yet. They're starting that are, you know, superheroes who are older. In fact, you know, we've lived in a youth-centric culture. Mm-hmm. The only time, you know, an older woman is referenced is when it comes to anti-wrinkle cream, unfortunately. And, you know, older men are praiseworthy with their beer bellies, their receding hairlines, and their wrinkles. But women, if they have gray hair, or not everyone by any chance, but I mean, that has been the image. And we know that from, you know, TV broadcasting, roles are played by younger people for older people casting. I mean, it's everywhere. And it's been in the magazines, it's been in print, in newspapers, on television, in movies, in theaters. But I think that that's changing, and it's changing, as you said earlier in your introduction, because we boomers actually control 75% of the wealth, and that's certainly true in North America. And I think some of us are making more of a fuss about that now than we did before. But that internalized ageism is, until I started researching the work that I'm doing, I was very definitely impacted by my own beliefs about my limitations. I didn't think that I could really learn something new. There's so many myths that abound that are inaccurate. But in fact, you know, they have shown that there is no expiry date for productivity. And the research shows that your age is no indicator of job performance and productivity. On the contrary, your experience adds to your productivity and creativity. So there are all sorts of misleading information that affects older adults in a way that they don't even recognize. I mean, I have to constantly remind friends, as you said, your example with, you know, saying I'm having a seniors moment. That's just reinforcing a bias. You buy a birthday card that makes fun of somebody with a fire extinguisher because all the people
it. Right.
It's funny. I grant you that, but it's aged. And so there are a number of, you know, of expressions that we use, like, oh, she looks good for her age. Or right. You can't teach an old dog tricks. All of those are part and parcel of what we grew up with, and we believed it. Because we have to disprove it. So we're one of our biggest problems ourselves, in that we limit our own potential. And I, you know, whenever I do workshops and awareness sessions with businesses or with groups, people come away thinking, I never thought about that. I didn't realize to what an extent I had internalized some of those beliefs.
So your mentor person, child, young woman who encouraged you to go to Nepal, when you said, oh, I couldn't do that, was there some age belief that you wouldn't physically be able to do that?
Yeah, probably. I was just about to turn 60, and yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
First of all, I didn't think that I could climb that high, but so I wasn't sure. I'd never done anything like that before.
Very brave. And I just wonder if that was part of your wake-up call to say, wait, there's so much more I can do.
Absolutely. I mean, from that point on, I started doing things that were definitely what somebody else might call a bit risky. For instance, I went off to Bolivia, and I worked with a group of people on communications, and I traveled alone through the Andes when I wasn't working with them. I went off to Bhutan and India it's about 10 years ago now, by myself. I didn't have anything that I was going to do specifically, but what I found was that people were so wonderful. I was gone for 2.5 months. There was a principal in a private school up in Dehradun in the north of the country, and he invited me to coach him for a month. So I lived with the vice principal, who was a woman, and I corresponded from there with a governor in Bhutan who invited me to come there to help work with, I didn't know what, I thought he wanted me for education or so, but he didn't. He wanted me to take a look at the eastern provinces of Bhutan with Western eyes for the sake of tourism, to develop tourism. So I went off there and I spent 6 weeks there and traveled throughout. I mean, it was just life-altering experiences, which just proved to me that if you can get up the courage to move out of your comfort zone at any point in your life, it'll make a huge difference.
You know? I'm going to nominate you for one of the top 60 over 60 smarts. Yeah. Here's a great comment, though. Maybe we should reframe a senior moment to mean when older people accomplish something assumed to be beyond their abilities.
Absolutely.
So that was
a good idea. Yeah.
I know, right?
Sure. Senior moment is just anything. I don't ever use the word senior, first of all, because I think it has a negative connotation. So that's the other thing that I've learned through the research is that our language and the images that we see really frame our point of reference for aging. And the two things that people are most fearful of when it comes to aging is ending up in some kind of home or place of care that they had no input into deciding that that was where they wanted to go. And the other is of dementia. But the reality is that I think it's less than 3% of individuals ever end up in care homes, and less than 10% of the population ever gets dementia or Alzheimer's. And yet, I think we are led to believe that that's an inevitable part of aging. So there's a lot of work we have to do on reframing what it means to get older, to be, we're living longer, we're living 30 years longer than we did.
Absolutely.
And absolutely. Our health spans are better too. We're healthier, we're fitter, we're more tech savvy, we're better educated than any other generation of olders, as Ashton refers to them. Ashton Applewhite refers to older people as olders, which I think is good.
Yeah. Elders or elders or
Well, elders is different, but that indigenous connotation, which I think is so important, but I can't. It's appropriation if you use it in the wrong context. So that's all.
So there was an AARP article out recently about the Great Resignation, and they were saying one of the advantages that may come out of that is that there might be more job possibilities for those of us in the over 55 group, where we had experienced a lot of, you know, discrimination and they wouldn't even talk to us. But then there's also the other side of it where we may not want to work full time. You know, we want to be able to negotiate a much more flexible schedule. How do you see that playing out?
Well, first of all, I think that a big quit or the Great Resignation may be exaggerated a bit, but the reality is that some people perceive that there are more people retiring as we get older, and others are the first people to be pushed out of their organizations because they are older. So, I mean, it affects everyone, but it certainly affects older people more. I think it's a great opportunity if, in fact, we could have more diversity, equity, and inclusion policies include age, but they don't.
They don't.
There are very few that do. And age is the only issue that actually intersects with all others, because I can be older and Indigenous, older and Black, any number of different isms also apply, but we combine them. But age is also one and has to do with cognitive diversity and experiential diversity, which is really important. So I may have lost track of what you asked. I think that it's an opportunity for older people, but only if we can make age awareness part of diversity, equity, and inclusion. And it's not that you want to necessarily only favor older adults, but they are the ones who have been disadvantaged because of age bias, in particular in the past, when it comes to hiring or retaining or rehiring, they are the ones who have been overlooked. I have lots and lots of statistics that prove that.
So Helen, you've done workshops where you try to bridge that gap between the younger workers and the older workers. I mean, I know personally myself, I feel fairly tech savvy, but you know, the kids on the phone, they speak a whole different language.
Right.
And they have a different way of looking at work. And so I'm wondering what you advise in corporations when you do those workshops, how to bridge some of that gap.
So I know what I wanted to say before. I wanted to say that actually what we are seeing is that there is more flexibility because workers are needed. We have a shortage of labor. In fact, what's good for older adults when they return has to do with flexibility to a large extent, whether it's benefits, working hours, job sharing, any number of different components of the workforce. Those are also good for young people or middle-aged people. There's no difference. I mean, it may be that a young person has to take care of their children and a middle-aged person is taking care of their children and their parents. So that flexibility is really critical to them as well. And, you know, the benefits can be hybrid situations, working from home or working in an office. And maybe one or the other or split. There are all sorts of opportunities today that I think the great resignation is identifying as being something that employees want more control over, that are going to be favorable for older people for whatever reason, but equally as favorable to younger people.
Mm-hmm. So that's the flexibility, but how about bridging the gap, learning how to talk each other's language, learning how to listen, learning how to mentor and be mentored, you know, because there's a lot we can learn from the younger generation. And so they can learn from us.
Sorry. So those are the kinds of workshops that I do with corporations and businesses. And I base it really on something that's fundamental, and that is self-awareness. And I use a tool, a psychometric tool, which only takes 10 minutes online, but which has such an impact on everybody's understanding of who they are and how they are perceived by others. Mm-hmm. And I work through that because there's the way in which we communicate, it's not just the language, you know, it's what tools do we want to use? It's our behavior. You know, some of us are more assertive than others or more expressive, like I'm holding my hands so that I don't giggle too much. And others are, you know, a bit quieter. It doesn't have to be introverted and extroverted. It has to do with preferences in behavior and thinking. And so we focus on that. And through those tools, develop understandings and work through a number of different scenarios and include age and some of the differences of stages and what they mean and so on. But reciprocal mentorship to me is very much a part of everything that we do because I believe in, you know, peer mentoring. I don't know if I'd consider a 17-year-old my peer, but in terms of what I could learn from that person, I know I could learn as much as they would learn from me.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think I told you that I asked my granddaughter, how should I do Instagram posts? Because I had no idea about Instagram. And she's 17. So there you go.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that technology is one great example where we can be, you know, they can help us so quickly. And we can learn quickly, too. And that's the other thing. Our brain is plastic. We're rewiring all the time. And all the research that's coming out now is supporting that. And hopefully, as we hear those things, or if we're introduced in workshops and whatnot, we'll start believing them and see that we can continue learning just as well as before. It may not come quite as quickly, but that's okay, because there's more to process as you age. So. It's different.
Well, it doesn't come quite as quickly, but it also, we process it with our years of experience. And so maybe that's what you meant by there's more to process. You know, I think we filter it through all these different lenses of things that we've done and experienced in our lives.
Yeah, we can put things together. We can problem solve differently as well. There's something called the gist of things. There's an article, I think it's written by somebody at MIT, but the point is we get the gist of things faster because of our experience.
Yeah, yeah. But, so if anybody's interested in this psychometric evaluation, mm-hmm. is it available online or could they get it?
No. I'm a certified associate, so they should just get in touch with me. I do it for families as well, but it's wonderful for the workplace, and I've got lots of testimonials to that effect, because that's where it's the most effective, when it has to do with teams and putting people together so they can work together. So I've been doing it since 2015. What I love about it is it only talks about talents and strengths. It doesn't say, for instance, well, you're a leader and you're a manager and you're a thinker or whatever, extrovert. It's nothing like that. It's very, very different. And it's been around since the 1980s, and it's done in 37 different countries and numerous different languages. So as I said, use that as the foundation, and then I move on from there. So just get in touch with me, and I'm doing it virtually, unfortunately, now too, instead of just on purpose. On purpose, in person.
In person.
I'm doing it on purpose. But yeah.
So they can reach you through www.top60over60.com, correct? Yeah.
That's right. They just have to write Helen@top60over60.com or info. But if you go to the website, you'll see you can contact us very easily.
Okay. And you're also very active on LinkedIn. I'm going to share this link, but you can also find Helen on LinkedIn. You can send her a message there. I also wanted to ask you about your plans for 2022. Hopefully, we're going to come out of this COVID restrictions this year and feel a little more ease at being in person. So what are some of your hopes and plans for 2022 for Top 60 Over 60?
Well, I have a split personality with my business, actually. I work with individuals and coach them and work with them on purpose and transitions and, you know, how to overcome those detrimental beliefs about getting older. But what I really want to do more and more of is work with businesses, small to medium to large, doesn't matter, corporations, to help them understand how important it is to have mixed ages within the workforce and to help them overcome those biases. So I think that, and that has to do with, the hiring practices, you know, it has to do with materials on website. I mean, there's so many implications that most people don't even think about. So I'd really like to consult more with some of those people who, because they are going to make a huge difference by role modeling for others that working beyond age 50 is possible. Because the reality is, and this is so sad, that people between the ages of 50 and 80 experience ageism on a daily basis, 85% of the time. Sorry, 85% of people in that age cohort experience ageism daily.
Daily?
Yeah.
Wow.
Daily. And I mean, it could be in the conversations that they have, that somebody references you as sweetie or honey or young lady. All those things are well intended, but they're ageist and they have an impact on the person who is getting those kinds of comments. Or the interactions, you know, when you go to a doctor with your daughter-in-law and the doctor only talks to your daughter-in-law, whereas you're still totally capable of making your own decisions and respond. Those are all examples of the interpersonal kind of ageism that we experience outside the workforce as well as in the workforce.
I think you see it. I was just thinking about that. Yeah, I think you see it driving also. You know how you'll be driving along carefully and some person will zoom by you and look at you like you're this little old lady driving. Like,
that's right. Or what do we say? We say that's a silly young person who's driving too fast. It goes both ways. Ages
goes both ways.
Goes both ways. So
it sure does.
So that's what I hope. And as I said, the top, getting top 60, getting, you know, event, a conference together. I think it's really important. I think the time is right. I'm looking for sponsors and hope that there's somebody out there listening who can suggest somebody or participate, because it would be great brand awareness. Nobody has taken up the cause of aging and ageism. And yet with this demographic shift, it's only getting older.
We're all getting older.
Not just us, but I meant the world is getting
older. The world is getting older. So the Hey Boomer Show, we don't specifically focus on ageism.
No.
But we do focus on living to your full potential, you know, that we are never too old, basically.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And so with that in mind, I wonder what one or two takeaways you would like to leave with the audience today.
You know, first of all, I just want to say that we're holding an event next Monday on the 24th. It's called a no agenda. Pardon?
It's the same time as my show.
Oh, sorry. It's 12 to 1.
12 to 1:30.
No, it's 12. Anyway, 12 to 1. It's a no agenda Zoom and talking about there's no agenda. But we've been holding these intergenerational conversations for the last 6 months, and they've always been really fascinating, but I've had an agenda. But let me just say this to leave you with this. Life is not like a linear package, although I think we sometimes conceive of it that way. So we really need to spot opportunities when they arise, take risks, and move outside our comfort zone. I really think that's so important for all of us. And it doesn't have to be going off to the Himalayas. It can be simply going down the street and going to another grocery store and seeing what there is there and who you run into, or smiling to people along the way with your eyes, because you're wearing a mask now, mm-hmm. and or just talking to people, going to different neighborhoods, learning something new. Again, it doesn't have to be that you learn Italian or Japanese. It could be simply a new skill, such as using a keyboard or your smartphone, which most of us don't know how to use.
Right.
You know, there's so many different things, but I think that, you know, having an open mind, a growth mindset, getting out of your comfort zone, and those are all components of the entrepreneurial mindset, which we teach when we do our workshops as well. So does that help?
Fascinating. Fascinating. Yes, it's great, Helen. And I love your passion behind what you were doing and how well you articulate it. Thank you for all of that.
Thank you, Wendy.
Yeah. And as I said, this is Helen's website. It's the www.top60over60.com, all spelled out. And I will include that and the link to her LinkedIn page in the show notes, so you will be able to easily find her there. I want to tell you who's coming up on next Monday, January 24th. Her name is Dr. Ann Basting. And she's the designer of Creative Care and Beautiful Questions. And for those of you who remember when we spoke to Dr. Karlowish, who was the author of The Problem of Alzheimer's, he referred to Anne and the beautiful questions. And I've been reading the book, and I have her imagination kit. So inspiring. I mean, it's definitely stuff that we can use outside of a long-term care facility. Just thinking about ways to ask questions differently and give people an opportunity to really be listened to. So I think it's going to be a great show. I'm looking forward to that. I just wanted to remind you all, too, that I'm offering a six-week program on transitioning to what's next. And it is going to be a group experience. There will only be 6 slots in this program. So I want to keep it small and intimate. And we are going to be talking about dreams and desires and fears and what holds us back, what propels us on, how we can find support, all of those kinds of things. So if you are interested in that, drop me an email at wendy@heyboomer.biz and we will get you. You know, we'll have a conversation, right? You may not be ready to sign up yet, but let's have a conversation and we can talk more about it. So it's wendy@heyboomer.biz. Thank you, Helen, for everything that you shared today.
Thanks for the opportunity, Wendy. It's been fun.
Yeah, it has been fun. Good luck with your snowstorm. Thank you all who joined us today. And I hope all of you do well with snow or whatever weather you have there. And remember,
you are never too old to set another goal or dream a new dream. My name is Wendy Green, and this has been Hey Boomer.